Welcome back to Frenemies, the podcast where we try to uncover the love-hate relationship between sales and marketing. My name is Julia Hartwig. I'm the head of marketing at Presenter, and today is a special episode because I'm joined by Jillian Els, the VP of marketing at Tricent, and we'll talk a bit about sales and marketing alignment and how to get there. Hi, Jillian.
Hi, Julia. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Just speaking generally, how do you approach a close alignment between sales and marketing?
Yeah, I think from my perspective, it comes from both top down and bottoms up. It needs to be aligned kind of across all of the employees, if you will, but it does ultimately start at the top. And it's one of the most important parts of if I take a new job, for example, that if I'm reporting into the CEO, that's great. I absolutely need to meet my partner in sales before I would say yes to the job, because of course, like many human relationships, it comes down to chemistry to start with. But then it's really about alignment and a single source of truth. So when we talk about your KPIs, my KPIs, hopefully some of them are the same, but where does that come from? So we're not talking about meetings booked from a marketing perspective, and you're busy talking about meetings held, and there's a misalignment there. And, it could get lost in the metrics if you're too focused on it as well. But it is about having that kind of transparency on your goals and your KPIs and what you're trying to approach and where you get that data from. But also very much of just about, we're in this together, you know, inbound, outbound, all bound, you know, like what we should be kind of driving towards, a revenue number together, in my perspective. And then what I mean by bottoms up, it's also that the people on my team, it's not just me having coffee with the VP of sales, it's my team getting involved with SDRs or the AEs and listening to demos or getting on demos and to understand what customers are saying. And, actually, I think we could probably help you with some content here. Or instead of them just asking and marketing just producing, a much more kind of symbiotic relationship, I think, when you're really getting involved. Of course, balancing in that you're not in sales, they're not in marketing. But I do think there's plenty of opportunities to work together. And I definitely, obviously, leadership needs to lead by example to start with. But I quickly found that when that's there, the rest follows. But it's important to make sure that you've set up a structure in which all kind of appropriate assets of marketing are engaging with the sales team, you know, sitting with them around in the office, and really just seeing each other as the key to each other's success, right?
I think that is an excellent point, and I've encountered this, and I think you still read it a lot, that marketing is thought of as kind of the supporting function to sales. And I don't like this this understanding of marketing. Of course, we are not the ones that are closing the deals or that are in direct contact with customers, but we're not like a supporting function in that way. It needs both parts. So I think that's something I, you know, would like to change about the way a lot of companies are thinking about their marketing function. But I also think you made an interesting point with, you know, the KPIs and looking at things together. That's why I'm a big fan of playbooks or however you want to, you know, approach this standardization. But it's so important that we all talk about the same numbers. And it's like, what do we actually want to look at least on a day-to-day basis? Is it meetings booked, meetings held, or what are the KPIs we want to look at? Even though you might not have the same KPIs, at least I think that's what the status is in most companies still, that not marketing and sales are both measured on revenue generated.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, you're going to measure on things like sales does not care about your necessarily, I shouldn't put words in their mouth, but unlikely to care about where, you know, the opportunities are coming from, unless they kind of understand where the best opportunities come. And that's where the, you know, the data supports that, and marketing can keep track of all of that and understand ROI. And, you know, sales might be interested in like, oh, can we get more leads like that? I'm like, well, it's inbound. I can't just like make this up. But, you know, I think it's fine to have different KPIs outside of, but definitely shared ones. And so on my one-to-one with my VP of sales, we look at the same things together. When we're at leadership meetings, we talk about the same numbers. And then, of course, in addition, like the next level down, here's what we're working on in terms of just if we looked at marketing specific.
Yeah, absolutely. And you said another interesting thing. You know, you said when you're like in conversations, like, you know, in a hiring process, you of course want to, you know, meet the rest of the people you're going to be working together with. So specifically sales. But is that something like how the alignment is set up by leadership? Is that something you check on as well? And if so, how do you do that and make sure?
Yeah, I think I've maybe personally been told that I'm a pretty good judge of character, high emotional intelligence kind of thing. So I'm able to tell really quickly if the chemistry is there. The chemistry is there, then it's an easy conversation to have. I think all sales leaders are interested in working with marketing. I've not really run into one who's like, no, just you do you and I'll do me. But they might say, yeah, alignment, great. How many leads can we get? And I'm like, okay, yeah, of course. Like we're here to support driving pipeline. But I often start kind of saying, here's how I look at pipeline generation. And here's my philosophy on sales accepted opportunities and more higher up or further along in the funnel, if you will, than just the sheer number of leads. And it's also about understanding where they're coming from. What are they being pressured on? What are their pain points? And you can't get to that without establishing a really good relationship. And that's why it does come down to chemistry, right? Like you should be really good sounding boards for each other. And likely, if you're successful in alignment, you have the same pain points from my perspective. But it's also saying, here's how I see this going. Here's how I want my team involved with your team. And like to your point, frameworks, SLAs, I think the bigger you get, the more scale you have, the more you need to formalize that. But if you're in an early stage company, it should come pretty naturally. Just kind of, you know, weekly stand-ups between sales and marketing to get that kind of continuous feedback loop, or bi-weekly, which is what we're doing right now. I'm an early stage company here at Trisense, and you know, I have weekly one-to-ones with my VP of sales where we kind of talk about the things we don't want to talk about in front of everyone. And we get down to, you know, figuring out how to succeed together versus kind of work apart. I mean, it's also different here. I'm responsible for all pipelines, so also outbound. I think that's a topic we'll maybe get into later. But it also puts a reliance on the sales team to make that a success, because I'm not a natural sales leader. I'm very strategic. I can set strategies in place and a good kind of inspirational personal leader. But when it comes down to like how to close, I need to rely on the experts. Like, how do you get that meeting ask done and booked? That's something that, you know, sales training is responsible for and goes much further than I would, but need that kind of relationship with sales to make that a success as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talked a bit about the kind of meeting setup you have to ensure close alignment. So you mentioned you have a one-on-one with the VP of sales, and then your team also has, together with the sales team, bi-weekly meetings. So this is kind of the meeting structure you have, if I understood this correctly, really get aligned and have lots of communication and the space to actually, you know, give feedback and draw things out together.
Yeah. And I think there's always macro things going on in the company that sales and marketing can align on together as well. But it's been an interesting progression in terms of, okay, marketing comes to the meeting, we've got prepared, here's all the things we've done, here's what we're working on, here's what's to come. And sales just sits there and listens and might say, yeah, leading me leads from that was crap.
Yeah, that's lovely feedback. Always goes over well.
But it's evolved, right? Yeah, it has evolved, and it's much better now. You know, they're coming in, and it has actually taken the fact that I'm like, look, marketing signing up to this many opportunities, this much pipeline, that should lead to this much revenue, and we're going to help you along that way because you need to close that revenue. So we also need to carve out time to work on how can we accelerate deals, how can we help you build a sense of urgency. But we, you know, quickly just kind of went more into like, here's where we're tracking against goal, here's the gap we need to make up, and here's how I'm hoping, you know, we could get some feedback from you guys specifically on these 3 points. So we've gotten much more specific as that relationship has evolved. You know, I've been here 6 months, And oftentimes when you come in as a new marketing leader, you might be in there to solve a challenge or to come into a broken sales and marketing relationship or just one that's just not established yet. So it's not from day one, right? You're not going to win the hearts of sales from day one, nor are, you know, they're going to win my heart from day one either. So it's a two-way street, but it's been a really great progression. The company I'm at now, and I, you know, the company I was at previously, like that was the dream team, as we called ourselves. Back to your point about marketing as a support function, I think, yeah, in a lot of ways, marketing is there to support successful sales. We're not order takers. I think we're there to help them figure out how to be more successful and to figure out the ICP and how to carve out where we're, you know, have a very high propensity to win and figure out the content that supports that along the way. But it's also, you know, in the US, we call this alley-oop, which is a basketball term, where someone sets up a layup and then, you know, someone dunks it. Like that's sales and marketing for me, right? Like we're going to get it so far. I think where the friction can start to exist is if marketing's not feeling recognized or valued for getting things that far in the modern kind of B2B buying process. Marketing is taking on such a bigger role of sales because we're an increasing amount of millennials in the workforce that don't really want to talk to people until we absolutely have to. We're doing all our own research and marketing needs to own that. So it is becoming, and maybe it's just a natural evolution of sales and marketing is because of this buyer's journey, it's forcing us to be closer together. But I do see it as partly a support function, but also definitely kind of setting up sales for success and meetings structure that can evolve, right? And but setting kind of the agenda of the meeting to being more goal focused has been really helpful and has put us on the same page instead of just like a laundry list of marketing initiatives, because no one, they zone out if you start to do that, right?
Yeah.
But it's also having coffee together and hanging out at the happy hours together and getting to know each other personally. And that's not something that happens in a meeting room.
That's true. Yeah. And I think for me, one point that you mentioned, you know, with the feedback of, yeah, the leads were shit. But also when it comes to setting meeting agendas, I feel like, you know, there's a lot of expectation management involved. So for me, it's also the more I brief the sales team on leads coming from certain events or activities, the more clear they are on what they can expect, right? So, you know, if I make clear, hey, this is an event and this is what happened. So yeah, the leads might not be the hottest leads you've ever talked to. That is also not what the purpose is. How can we split them out? Do you really want to, you know, get in contact with all of these? Should we, you know, nurture the other ones? And how do we handle this? So again, crossing this collaboration, and through that, you know, this kind of feedback gets less and less because there is more communication and more alignment on, okay, what are we looking at? And like, I'm fully aware that these leads aren't ready to buy right now. This is not where they're at in their journey.
Yeah. Well, and that just goes back to like, let's start talking about leads for the love of God. Like, and that we haven't talked about, but that also comes from that top down. That is a marketing and kind of C-suite alignment. So if the culture is leads, 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 that's something you need to change pretty quickly. And from my perspective, at least, that we need to be talking about opportunities and pipeline in order to meet the revenue goals. Because, you know, it's no secret that maybe if you're lucky, 5% of your target market is in market for your solution. And these days it's probably a lot less than that. I mean, we've been riding high on a wave of software buying and productivity, and now everyone's being much more scrutinous on their spend. And is this a nice to have? And I think it's really important that, yes, you're working on your brand awareness and your kind of demand generation versus demand capture. There's always a balance. But if the culture is leads, 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 that needs to kind of stop because then you're, to your point, going to keep having these conversations. But I think, like you said, if you brief them, say, well, we did add 170 people to our database. No, you're not allowed to call them. But, you know, we went, we showed face, we had good conversations. It doesn't make sense to follow up. You don't want to talk to people that don't want to talk to you. You know, especially also because some of us are in companies that are kind of creating categories and trying to, you know, create a blue ocean, but it's difficult if there's nothing to compare yourself to, if you're not like, oh, we're just like, you know, this company, but for this. If you don't have that, none of your leads are going to be hot because you're going to be having to educate them. And, you know, there's very little inbound until you've had a chance to educate the market. So there's lots of different elements that would make that a little bit more tricky in terms of when you talk about leads and when you talk about opportunities. But ultimately, I think it's really about what's moving the needle. And it could be that it's few of them, but if they're able to close them, then, you know, that's a much, much better use of their time.
100% agree. Yeah, we all need to be efficient in this time. Teams have gotten smaller. We are working with smaller budgets and more limited resources. So we need to ensure both in marketing and sales that everybody is really working on the activities that actually, as you say, move the needle and generate revenue. As you mentioned, outbound, I think it's fantastic that you are also in charge of outbound, but I think it's not the usual case that marketing also sits with outbound. And I think there are a lot of advantages of that. But how do you see that that balance and where you kind of focus? Because obviously, outbound is not, you know, conversion rates are fairly low, and it's not the most impactful activity, even though it's important. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's one of those it depends answers. But where I am for now, for example, I'm at an early stage category creation, kind of need to educate the market. I think it absolutely makes sense for outbound to sit with marketing because I see it as a right hand to our efforts of kind of getting out there, getting awareness, because you can build great content. You can, you know, try and squeeze whatever demand might be out there in some shape or form, but you really need to kind of get your name on the map, if you will, and you can go to events and so forth. But I think outbound is a challenging but important aspect of that. So it might be a little bit demotivating that, no, we didn't book the meeting this time, but at least they know who we are. And when they run into that pain, they didn't, oh yes, this was annoying. Actually, there is a solution for it. Someone called me 3 months ago about it. And then maybe they come in through the website or what have you. But I think I see it as a really important part of what I'm doing when I'm trying to educate the market and get out there. It's an expensive one, but so is spending money on AdWords when people are kind of looking for auxiliary solutions or something like that. Events are expensive. Everything is expensive. But I do think this pays dividends. And when you own the entire pipeline drive, you have much more control over how you spend your resources and where you put money and, do I need another SDR or do I need to increase my advertising budget and watch that evolution over time? I've also worked in organizations where the SDR notion has just been this rock star setup where it's just, you know, very highly automated and kind of is the feeding channel into the sales team and so forth. And there I'm like, you know, I don't know that I need to raise my hand to kind of be a managing that, but definitely involved in it. And, you know, my last company, that was that, right? We had two SDRs for every AE, and that was an engine that just really ran, and marketing's kind of role. And that was, you know, weekly stand-ups. Here's what's going on. Here's, you know, if you can't get them to book a meeting, here's some other things you can do. We wrote their email sequences and helped adjust those. So my team was heavily involved in, we had outreach.io, or I think that's what it's called, at that stage, and kind of looking at which sequences booked best and, you know, optimizing and so forth. As marketers, we're born to test. Sometimes you might see this in a RevOps function, which is kind of agnostic to teams. But marketing obviously has a power with words, hopefully at least. So we were still involved, even though I didn't own that part of the pipeline drive. And at the end of the day, it was still a revenue number. And you have to be honest as a marketing leader also to look at your own cost of acquisition versus, you know, what's the cost of acquisition through the SDR channel. And if you can get that lower through SDRs, then yeah, you need to hire more SDRs. But there will always be this conversation to be had, and the dynamics will change. So I don't know that I'm the person to say, yeah, marketing should always own outbound. But it does make sense where I am right now, and I enjoy it. We're working both in-house and with partners to do it. So that's its own challenge. But I've seen it work both ways, to be honest.
And as you mentioned, SDRs, where do you see, I mean, obviously that depends very much on the company setup and you should say the structure, but where in the hierarchy kind of do you see SDRs sitting? Because there are companies where SDRs are actually sitting with the marketing department and others where they're sitting with sales. So what is your viewpoint on that?
Yeah, I think I've tried it, like I said, both ways. Even in my last company where there was a kind of clear SDR structure and sat with sales, we had an inbound SDR for a little while because we felt like it was such a niche kind of role, and that when you're inbound, you can't start like talking to them the same way. Like you have to kind of have an accelerated conversation because they're likely done a lot of research and to some degree annoyed that they have to talk to an SDR before getting to an AE. I think there is always going to be a natural benefit for them to sit at least maybe physically around sales in that energy and that kind of atmosphere. Is a grind. It's not a thankful job. It's not for everyone. It's really difficult. I've actually learned how to be much nicer to people calling me if I pick up the phone. But it's not, you know, an easy job. And I think that sitting with sales, and ultimately you find that most of them will want to go into a sales role. That's what they've tried, and they can either cut it or they can't. Or then maybe they might want to go into rev ops or something else auxiliary. We've also had SDRs in my old company that came into marketing, and that was some of my best marketers.
I've seen that a lot as well.
But most of them did want to go into sales, right? That they saw that as a natural path. So in that regard, it does make sense that they kind of sit in the sales organization. But yeah, like I said before, it can work sitting in marketing as long as marketing has a really good relationship with sales and can get the resources in terms of kind of sales training and enablement for SDRs to keep the motivation, because they're probably maybe 1 out of 10 is looking for a promotion into marketing. But most of them would be like, look, I'm doing this really hard work because I think the carrot is an AE position.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we all agree on it. Sales and marketing alignment is really important. But where do you really see the main benefits of being closely aligned and, you know, pushing towards a common goal together?
The first symptom of a successful sales alignment would be deal velocity increases, right? The more aligned you are, the more kind of propensity to buy there will be in the kind of opportunities you're driving, and you'll get the feedback faster, so you'll know how to kind of optimize for that. You're going to have better customer experiences. CX is going to be happier because it's going to be the right person that's gotten into their hands. And, you know, we haven't talked about that as well, but there also needs to be an alignment between sales and CX, and not just throwing customers over the fence. The topic for a different day. But I think you will see that you'll probably see more quote unquote raving fans because you've really catered the experience to them to be the best one for the customer, not for sales versus marketing. You'll see happier teams, you know, sharing the glory, like marketing getting just as excited about deal closing as sales almost, right? And also together and failing, like when we don't hit it right or whatever, like it's still a team sport. So I think that's some of the benefits, and ultimately for talent retention. And like I said, maybe you do have salespeople that would be really great marketers. Look at Devin Reed from Gong. He started, I think, as a BDR, but he was definitely in sales and became their head of content. And he's kind of one of the kings of content in that space, if you will. So there's a lot of benefits because SDR, like we mentioned, is a hard job. There's a lot of churn in that. But you could find some really good diamonds in the rough to kind of find other places for them in the organization. So I think those are some of the benefits. It's definitely just talent retention, growth expansion, faster deal cycles, hopefully higher ACV as well, and ultimately a much better and smoother customer experience.
Yes. And you know, I think also when you have this close alignment, and as you say, like, you know, it goes in meetings, but also actually getting to know each other better. I mean, one thing I've seen you said it as well of like, you know, your respect for SDRs, but also AEs just increases. And that goes both ways, right? So also the sales function understanding that marketing isn't just, you know, writing a post for social media, but there goes way more thought and strategy into it. And there is a reason why, you know, we do this and we have the skills for this part. So I think that's a massive upside, as you said, that also goes into employee happiness and lots of other areas.
Yeah. We actually did a cold outbound day as a company, but I just think it's something I will probably do with any team I have. Like, put yourself in their shoes. It's one thing just to sit in on a demo, but when you're actually trying to cold call someone or, you know, really kind of make the ask, like, it's a hard thing to do. And it definitely increases that respect for the position, right? I think we in theory know it's hard because we in theory know how difficult it is to get through to someone like ourselves. But before you actually kind of do it and do it for a whole day, I think it's this kind of foreign object. And then actually having tried it is a big thing. I don't know what the equivalent it is. Maybe we could talk about that, of what they could do in marketing without throwing just a shit ton of acronyms at them. make this work better. You know, but yeah, I think, like you said, that more aligned you are, that mutual respect just continues to grow.
No, but I love hearing that. I implemented exactly the same thing, like call out days for the entire company. And I hate talking on the phone. Like, there's a really good reason why I'm not in sales. But I think it is so important. And also, like, actually for all departments, it's such a big learning, because in marketing, product marketing, you can learn, okay, do our value propositions actually work? Do people understand? Like, do I feel like, is this really well phrased? Like, does this actually in reality work, what I thought out? But also for product, of course, to see, okay, how are people actually responding to these things? So I think every department gets a really big learning on top of learning that, you know, being an SDR is really, really difficult on actually taking these conversations. And as much as it pushes like our boundaries, it's a really good process. So I'm a big fan of that. And I actually think that, you know, generally in onboarding, every person that joins a company should spend one day in the sales department as SDR, because it gives you this really good foundation of knowledge, how actually the market responds.
Yeah, for sure.
So what challenges you about, you know, working closely with sales and having this communication and alignment and being very involved there?
Oh, I think it's probably the usual things that will always frustrate marketing, you know, CRM, hygiene, and all of these things, and constantly kind of needing to, like, okay, what's in it for you? I mean, it's something you continue to have to practice. And even though you think, all right, we're aligned, so you know that everything I do is to ultimately benefit us, but sometimes you still need to kind of like put it in perspective, and that can be tireless sometimes. It's also just about, yeah, you know, there's only so much marketing can do sometimes, and if a rep's not meeting quota, they're sitting in a different space, and, you know, kind of being able to recognize that and meet them where they are, you know. Typically, to be a good salesperson, you have, I think there's probably maybe two or three personality types. Some of them are harder for me to kind of balance with than others. But yeah, I think, you know, especially if you get new people in, right? They're coming from a different organization and they're back to the whole, where are my leads conversation. Or sometimes they're so ambitious and that's so great. And you're like, that's great that you want to hire a lead scraper through Fiverr. We've got these things going on. I promise you, we're working as hard as we can to kind of build the pipeline and just kind of having that of like, thank you for your interest, continue to have that passion, but also respect the process and the, but also, yeah, to myself saying, well, what's the harm? And some, like, I don't know if that's the best example, but like, oh, you want to do that? Sure. Just if you want to run with it, that's fine. And kind of not being the kind of Debbie Downer of everything, you know, when they're coming with ideas as well. So I would say that those are pretty average challenges, especially, like I said, if the culture has been very broken in the past or very lead based in the past. It just takes a while to kind of change those habits and change those conversations.
Yeah. And you've talked already a bit about, you know, your previous, the setup at your previous companies, but how has this relationship between sales and marketing for you changed over the last, you know, 10 years?
Yeah, I think I've always gotten along with my counterparts in sales. So for me, I was like, oh, I didn't realize this was an actual movement, but it is, right? I think it comes back to this whole, like, the buyer journey is changing. I've always been very revenue focused as a marketing leader, which I think also gains a little bit respect from the get-go with sales. So I'm maybe not the person that's always been like, we need a new logo and stuff like that. Like, that's not really been my approach. So it's come naturally to me, but I think it's, as a trend, emerged from like nice to have to table stakes. Like, I don't think you can be successful, at least in B2B SaaS, without it these days. And of course, there's various levels of it, and you're always going to be working on it. I mean, you work on a marriage for as long as you're in a marriage. Like, it's a relationship, and a relationship takes work. So I think the evolution has been that it's, you know, no longer nice to have, it's need to have. And that is something that marketing leaders really need to be aware of. And I think it comes down to, like I said, you know, being very clear in the interviewing process. If you're looking for a new role, like, I need to meet with, you know, the sales leader. How does it work today? What has not worked in the past? What are they hoping to achieve with a new marketing leader, et cetera? So I think it's just evolved. But it could also be that I'm a marketer with a sales heart or a salesperson with a marketing heart. I don't know. Maybe I've just had that in my DNA, so to speak. But yeah, I think it's no longer nice to have at all.
I absolutely agree. And last question. Now we obviously talked a lot about the relationship with sales, but you also mentioned other departments. So how do you see, you know, the kind of, how do you balance the close alignment marketing needs to have with sales with the other departments? Because obviously, like, you know, we need to kind of be at the heart of everything.
Yeah, we are often the facilitators, right? Especially if you've got product marketing sitting in marketing. In my experience, they are kind of like that enabler person between kind of customer facing roles in the back of the house and helping articulate product value to sales teams so that they can go out, but also taking feedback from the market and getting that back into the product organization. So it's oftentimes that we're also somehow like helping product and sales speak together, just maybe potentially as facilitators. Also, of course, customer success has a lot of interface with product kind of naturally as well. But I think I mentioned it also, it's coming up also into the C-suite and making sure that all of these teams are aligned where they need to be and working cross-functionally where they need to be and balancing it with, let's not overdo it. You know, let's not have meetings for the sake of meetings. Like, let's have projects that we're working on together or initiatives. So I think marketing does become that glue, if you will. We're oftentimes natural communicators. I think that's also sometimes the hard part of marketing is balancing that of like helping communicate internally as well as, you know, our day job. Yeah. and communicating externally. But I do think that we have a unique position to do that. And if we have close alignment with sales, then we can quickly become that enabler in the company to help other teams do the same and model after that. It strikes me how many silos still exist between teams, even coming into new companies. And for whatever legacy reasons it might be, maybe I'm just the fluffy marketing cheerleader person that comes in. We should all be friends. But it is it's something I enjoy doing.
Wonderful. Well, thanks so much for sharing your insights and tips and tricks on how to get to a close alignment.
Likewise, Julia, it's been a pleasure, and I look forward to listening to other podcasts and connecting on B2B SaaS.
Yes, very excited.
Next week. So awesome. Well, thanks for your time and thanks for having me, Julia.
Well, thanks for joining.